What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What happens to people who haven't heard about Jesus? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, a pastor here in the ELCE, serving congregations in Suffolk, Essex and the Midlands. Plus I do some part-time teaching at the Church's Theological House of Studies, Westfield House in Cambridge. For the details of the ELCE's congregations, missions and Westfield House, please visit www.lutheran.co.uk. and have a look around at who we are and what we believe. Today's question is almost a part two, or a supplementary answer to an earlier question. Why me and not my neighbour? In that straight answer, we considered the issues relating to what is going on when I'm saved by Jesus through faith, but my neighbour, who has also heard about Jesus, keeps Jesus at arm's length and doesn't trust Jesus or follow him. In that answer, I made the comment that straight answer wasn't dealing with how the church views people who have never heard that there is a Jesus. And you can hear where this is going. So that's the topic for today. I hope you enjoy the program. What happens to people who haven't heard about Jesus? We have a sense of justice here. People can accept that if a person knows about a situation and makes a poor choice, then they have to face the consequences. People also have the expectation that rules innocently broken, where people didn't know the rule in the first place, should generally result in a consequence less serious than what would happen to a person who knew the rules and broke them deliberately. Our own legal system recognizes such factors as age, capacity, and culpability in determining justice when the law is broken. Since many people see the Christian God as a lawgiver and judge, then there is an expectation that if we humans can understand that not all rules are broken equally, then surely God can do the same. This means that many people expect God to go lightly on those who have never heard that there ever was a Jesus. In this way of thinking, people can't be punished or should be punished less because they haven't rejected Jesus. They have been ignorant of him. This is important because the Christian story has, as its ending, the end of this world, a final judgment, sheep and goat separation, heaven and hell. Of course, if you take away hell, then the problem is significantly lessened, and religions have proclaimed various ways for people to be with God if they don't get it right the first time. However, for a religion that operates with linear time, that is, there is no cyclic understanding of time or reality. There is just a beginning and an end. And in this time, we only live one life. And at the end of all time, there is either life with God, heaven, or separation from God, hell. Then how people get to heaven is not unimportant. Just as what happens to people who don't seem to fit, that is, they don't believe Jesus is Lord, and they don't reject Jesus is Lord, they have never heard that there is a Jesus, becomes an issue that challenges the credibility and the coherence of the religion. So you'd think that there was a clear biblical answer to this situation. If there was, then there would hardly be an awkward question. If there was a clear biblical answer to this question, then we'd have it, and then we'd decide whether we liked it or not. But the Bible doesn't address this issue in any clear and unambiguous way, hence the first straight answer is just that. The Bible doesn't clearly speak to this topic. It means that there is a mystery here, and we need to be rather humble in whatever we do say. Because saying I don't know isn't really an option. So people look for Bible passages that speak partway into the situation, and they review clearly what they know and why they know it. So if people say, or want to say, that those people who have never heard that there is a Jesus, and thus that Jesus died and rose again for them, and because they haven't rejected Jesus, that God will be kind to them, we should ask, what does kind mean? It generally means that God will let them into heaven, is the answer I often hear. This is the ignorance gets you in the back door answer. The problem with this answer is that it flies in the face of the entire New Testament. Jesus wants people to follow him. His disciples proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection to people so that they would move from death to life. To not do so would be to leave them to their sins and the imprisonment that brings. So let's consider Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended, and instead of Peter preaching to Jerusalem and 3,000 people believed in Jesus, let's imagine that he rather gathered the followers of Jesus together, there were about 120 of them by then, and instead of preaching to Jerusalem, preached to the believers and said, okay, we believe that Jesus is Lord, but if we stay quiet and not tell anyone about Jesus, then ignorance will get them in the back door of heaven. We believe and are saved. But if we tell people about Jesus, they may reject him and then they'll be lost. So the best thing to do for the world, so that all people will be saved, is to keep quiet. Of course, Peter didn't preach that sermon. Let's listen to what Peter did say and to what happened next, from Acts chapter 2. Peter said, "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Unlike many religions, Christianity is a missionary religion, precisely because Christians fervently believe that living with Jesus now makes living now, each day, distinctively better. Faith in Jesus is not just about heaven, which ignores our lives today. It is actually the other way round, that faith in Jesus is for today, each day, one day at a time, now. And heaven will take care of itself. Or rather, Jesus has taken care of our eternal situation so that we don't have to be anxious or concerned and can concentrate on life now. The caricature of Christianity is that it is really about gaining heaven and avoiding hell, which is future talk, and misses the point that Christianity is really about today, living with Jesus today. Jesus makes life so different. There is life in all its fullness, which is not to be understood and thought of as health and prosperity always. But this fullness is that Jesus is with us and gives us his life, so that we can face and enjoy or endure whatever happens day to day. We live making decisions and being responsible for them. Christians are not plasticine or puppets, even as we pray for guidance. And we live with the confidence of God's presence as we battle our selfishness and sins and fears. This is not dull living. This is living with zest, even if the current circumstances of our lives are horrible. Jesus makes a difference to our lives today, each day, and that is why Christians are keen to share the good news about him. So ignorance doesn't get you into heaven via the back door, and telling people about Jesus isn't condemning them to hell, but offering life in all its fullness to them. So does this mean I'm saying that those who have not heard that there is a Jesus are in hell? As I said, the Bible doesn't specifically say so, but the worldview brought into being by the Bible would suggest so. But that's simply not fair, I've heard on many occasions. If God is merciful and just, then he's going to have to do something. To which I reply, he has and he does. God in Jesus has rescued us from life without him, life on our own terms that ends in death, and the Holy Spirit keeps working so that each generation gets the chance to hear this good news. So you hear this good news, that Jesus died and rose again for you, and he can be trusted to follow each day. And now the conversation becomes circular, as people acknowledge what I've said and still go back to the ancient person in China thousands of years ago, or the person in a remote jungle still today. What about them? And my first reply is, well, all these people are spiritually dead in their sins. It's not that they're alive and didn't get to choose Jesus. They are already dead, for they have sinned against God. This is the argument Paul uses in his first three chapters of Romans, which culminates in the verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," Romans 3 verse 23, and which leads then onto God's rescue in Christ received through faith. Salvation according to Christians is only through Jesus. There is no other name by which we can be saved, is the unambiguous message of the followers of Jesus. And so for salvation to happen, Jesus has to be involved. Paul talks about this, but without detail, in Romans chapter 2. "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus." A little later, Paul says to the Jews that they can't claim the covenant saves them by going about sinning against God's law. Relationships govern behavior. That's what's supposed to happen with God's chosen people, but they sin. As part of his argument, Paul makes the opposite point about the Gentiles, who are not in the covenant relationship, but if they were to behave daily, guided via conscience, the laws of society that reflect God's Ten Commandments, and who live justly and mercifully, in other words, living as if they were in the covenant, the relationship with God, then their non-covenant status doesn't condemn them. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. Remember, Paul says in Romans 3 that everyone has fallen short in sin. So life with God, salvation, is always God's work on us. But Paul's argument recognizes that God wants all people to be saved and live with him, and that includes the Gentiles. So where does this leave us? Well, we have rejected the ignorance gets you into heaven via the back door perspective, and we have accepted that God wants all people to be saved and has made that possible through Jesus Christ. Where people reject Jesus, then should that be a definitive and permanent view? They could always repent, of course. Then they get their wish and are separated from Jesus. People who do not know that there is a Jesus are still spiritually dead in their sins, and salvation is only and always through Jesus. But we acknowledge Paul's argument that living as if they were in a covenant relationship shames the believers who don't live as their faith directs them to. What this actually means for an individual person, we can't specifically say, and so we leave them in God's hands, but without supporting the ignorance or good works are keys to heaven. And Christians are left, not with guilt and fear, but with life and love and wonderful good news, that Jesus does love all people, and life with him is the best there can be. And it's all about today. Because in Christ, eternity is taken care of. And that's why Christians want everyone to know that there is a Jesus, and what he has done, and what he does for all people. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.